This is the Hip Hop African Podcast, a show where we have in-depth conversations about African hip-hop culture and artists. Your host is Msia Kibona Clark, a professor in the Department of African Studies at Howard University. For more information or to contact us, please visit us at hiphopafrican.com.
So this is going to be a solo episode, and the focus of the solo episode is going to be really kind of discussion of what hip hop studies is. Really kind of looking at what is hip hop studies, who gets to define it, but then also where does Africa fit in? And so I'm going to approach defining it because there's no way I'm going to do a definitive definition of what hip hop studies is. That would be a lot. But I can give my perspective on what it is coming from an African studies / cultural studies perspective. But a lot of these things that I'm also going to discuss cut across different approaches that are just foundational aspects of hip hop studies. Part of it is also kind of looking at why Africa and the rest of the diaspora is playing an important role in the conversation, even though those voices often have not been centered. So I think the first thing is kind of look at why universities are increasingly engaging with hip hop culture, because hip hop is not new. Hip hop studies is probably one of the newer fields in the academy, but hip hop culture obviously is much older than hip hop studies, the field. So you really, in terms of historically, you have Howard University playing an important role both in the early stages, but also now in terms of hip hop studies. So in 1991, Howard becomes the first university to offer a course on hip hop. That coincided with the university being the first university to host a hip hop conference. Fast forward about 20 years, and University of Arizona becomes the first university to launch a hip hop studies minor. So in between 91 and 2012, there were universities that had special topics classes or developed courses. University of Arizona was the first to actually launch a minor. Since then, several universities are offering hip hop studies classes in academic programs. And three of those universities offering programs are HBCUs. Bowie State was the first HBCU to do so. You also have North Carolina Central University and most recently Howard University. So a lot of these programs are not just led by hip hop scholars, but they include the involvement of practitioners. And many of them are involved as adjuncts, guest lecturers, artists in residence. I don't think I know of a program or a professor who's teaching a hip hop course who has not somehow engaged practitioners in those courses. The most common way is as guest lecturers, either in person or virtually. Bowie State had Sha Rock, who was the first female MC, actually there for, I think, at least a year in residence. So there are a couple of reasons this is happening: the increase in programs, the increase in courses. The most important is the entrance of hip-hop scholars, aka hip-hop heads, into the academy. So most of today's hip-hop scholars were students in the 1980s and 90s, were raised on hip-hop culture and trained in the academy. And so they brought hip-hop culture with them into the academy. These scholars were also writing the books that will become the foundation of hip-hop studies. And so that's probably the most important reason these things are happening now. And so then when someone says, okay, well, what is hip hop studies? It is not simply studying rap music. Hip hop studies includes the performative aspects of hip hop, including rap, dance, graffiti. But hip hop studies also really kind of helps to define and contextualize what it means to perform hip hop. But it also shows the place of hip hop culture in the evolution of Black music and culture in America, also globally. It also shows the economic and social and political factors that have shaped hip-hop culture globally and as well as how hip hop culture has shaped economic, society, and politics globally. So there's been that reciprocal relationship, and hip hop studies is focused on that. And as such, it's kind of touched on several different disciplines in doing so. So hip hop studies is interdisciplinary. And so it borrows theories and approaches from other disciplines. So for example, hip hop studies regularly engages critical race theory, which, you know, really has a home in Africana and African-American studies. It also touches on linguistics through discussions around African-American vernacular English, as well as Hip Hop Nation Language, HHNL, with scholars like Sami Alim have talked about. It also contributes to our understandings of Black feminism and African feminism with scholarship on hip hop feminism. So hip hop uses the lens, like I said, of critical race theory, post-colonial theory to understand hip hop's roots in both civil rights movements in the US, but also independence movements in Africa, the Caribbean, and other places. Hip hop's place in the genealogy of Black music protests around racism and for freedom is an important aspect of the field. At Howard University, their faculty like myself in African Studies, Dr. Greg Carr in African American Studies, Dr. Michael Ralph in African American Studies, that incorporate hip hop into our courses, into our scholarship. And so that's kind of that field. In English, hip hop studies engages in conversations around lyricism. I mentioned HHNL. It also delves into the technical aspects of lyric writing and the connection to other forms of spoken word and performance. At Howard University, we have professors like Dr. David Green in English, who has taught classes on lyricism, lyric writing, in hip hop and spoken word. In sociology, hip hop studies looks at the relationship between hip hop culture and the communities it inhabits. And so it explores urban communities, especially specifically the ones that birthed hip hop, and how those communities are integral to the development of hip hop culture. So at Howard, we've got the amazing Dr. Bahia Muhammad, who does a lot of this. She really focuses on urban Black America. We need to understand how hip hop emerged from these communities and really the conditions in the communities that inspired the artists to write about it. In international studies, hip hop studies explores the internationalization of hip hop in places like Latin America and Africa, and the ways artists use language to represent certain narratives. In the field of communication, hip hop studies explores hip hop production, the media coverage of hip hop, and the entertainment business writ large. And in our university, we've got the amazing Dr. Tia Tyree and Dr. Roger Carruth, who both teach courses on media marketing, engaging with the industry in various ways. And so they're amazing. In fine arts, of course, hip hop studies focuses on hip hop performance. It explores dance, it explores fashion. At Howard University, we have two amazing professors. We've got Dr. Elka Stevens, who teaches our fashion class. And then we've got Professor Timothy Jones, who was one of the students who was at Howard in 1991 that actually started that conference, him and several other students. And now he's come full circle back at Howard, teaching as a professor, as well as is part of our hip hop studies program. He's also a faculty coordinator. You also have Dr. Lakita Bonnet, who is currently in the political science department at Howard University. So another amazing scholar. She's done a lot of work around hip hop studies. She's published quite a bit. She's someone definitely to look up. The field of hip hop studies really emerged out of the recognition of the importance of hip hop beyond the music. And a lot of that came out of people who were part of the culture. So it's gone beyond music or its initial elements of DJ, breakdance, MC, graffiti, knowledge of self. We've got additional elements. You've got fashion, you've got film, you've got academia. Hip hop has developed into a culture that is global, but that also has important economic, social, and political impacts around the world. And the scholarship that shaped the field emerged in the 1990s. And since then, there's just been a growing body of scholarship from scholars from around the world, along with several academic journals and conferences, including Howard University's annual Hip Hop Studies Conference that takes place every November, and is taking place this year, November 13th through the 15th. And if you have not gotten your submission in or registered, you go to hiphop.howard.edu and you can get information. And so hip hop entered academia kind of slow and reluctantly. Academia often treated hip hop as deviant, as just commercial entertainment rather than anything intellectual. And so you've had the resistance of the academy to hip hop studies, but you've also had pushback within hip hop culture. Often hip hop studies scholars are beholden both to the academy and to hip hop culture. In 2007, David D is quoted as saying,
"You have an interesting phenomenon where the, quote, hip hop experts with university appointments attached to their name have no credibility whatsoever in hip hop circles. That, coupled with the fact that academia in a lot of places has always kept a distinct separation between what goes on in community and what happens on campus, is a source of tension."
That quote by David D, which is not in his own voice, but that was a reenactment of the quote, really reflects the culture's perspective on hip hop entering the academy. So hip hop studies has had to prove itself not only to the academy, but also to the culture. Some of the foundational texts includes Nation Conscious Hip Hop, which was published in 1991, written by James Spady, who is one of the forefathers of hip hop studies. Not enough people, I think, know about him. He passed away. And so a lot of people just really don't know about his work because it came out in the early 90s. But he also established the methodology of hip hopography. I also just found out about him a couple years ago when I was asked to contribute a chapter to a book on hip hopography, which is a methodology in hip hop studies. And it's a methodology that centers the voices of the culture's participants and really decolonizes the traditional way of doing research and studying, and focuses on the fact that street knowledge, lived experiences, have the same level of importance as academic text. And so that's, you know, one of the foundational texts in hip hop studies. You also have Trisha Rose's 1994 book, Black Noise, which is considered one of the foundational texts in the field and is seen as helping to legitimize hip hop studies inside of academia. In 2004, Imani Perry's Prophets of the Hood, Politics and Poetics and Hip Hop, and Gwendolyn Poe's Check It While I Wreck It, Black Womanhood, Hip Hop Culture and the Public Sphere came out. And then you also had, prior to that, Bakari Katwana's 2002 book, Hip Hop Generation, Young Blacks and the Crisis of African American Culture. And that book really sought to provide a framework for the hip hop generation and define the hip hop generation as of 2002, and really kind of talked about the politics and of Black youth identity. Before that, you had 2000s When Chicken Heads Come Home to Roost by Joan Morgan, and is considered not only a foundational text in hip hop studies, but also in hip hop feminism. The book talks about how hip hop can be both politically liberating, but also really misogynistic at the same time. In 2005, you had Jeff Chang's Can't Stop, Won't Stop, which was a historical approach to hip hop. 2006, H. Sammy Aleem, who's at UCLA now, wrote the book Rock the Mic Right, The Language of Hip Hop Culture. And then you've had a couple really important edited volumes, like That's the Joint, The Hip Hop Studies Reader, which was first published in 2011 and has had at least two editions. That was edited by Murray Foreman and Mark Anthony Neal. You've got quite a few texts. You also have journals like the Global Hip Hop Studies Journal, the Journal of Hip Hop and Education, the Journal of Hip Hop Studies, and the organization Words, Beats, and Life has what they call a journal zine, which is a hybrid academic journal and magazine, and that's the Global Journal of Hip Hop Culture. You also have yearly conferences and symposia. The European Hip Hop Studies Conference happens every March. It rotates in locations around Europe. The Trinity International Hip Hop Festival, which happens every April at Trinity College in Connecticut. You have the Hip Hop Ed Conference, which happens in June at Columbia University in New York. And you've got the Hip Hop Studies Conference at Howard University that happens every November. And then the Hip Hop Association of Advancement in Education, they've had conferences. I was trying to go online and see information about future conferences, and I wasn't able to, so I'm not quite sure when their next conference will be. So I had initially planned to talk about hip hop theories and methodologies, but I don't want to bore you. I do want to do a separate episode on two topics. One, looking at hip hop feminism, but the other is looking at digital media and how hip hop studies is looking at hip hop content creators online and some of the troubling things that are happening. Specifically looking at how algorithms reinforce and recreate injustice and do representational harm. And oftentimes hip hop artists and content creators are having to deal with this. So I think that deserves its own episode because I don't want to have a long episode. So I think kind of coming back and doing an episode on that would be great because there's a lot there to discuss. But my work focuses a lot on hip hop outside of Africa and tries to contribute to the decentering of the U.S. in hip hop studies. Understandably, the foundational text focus on the U.S., but oftentimes global hip hop is treated as secondary. When it comes to Africa, it has been treated as, oh, the influence of Africa on hip hop, or the MC as the griot, or as a destination where hip hop is gone, but not as its own intellectual producer, not as its own source of knowledge contributing to hip hop studies. And so I do think it is important that we look at not only Africa, but also other parts of the diaspora where hip hop is knowledge production. When it comes to our conversations around racism, for example, South African artists have had to deal with many of the same issues that artists in the U.S. have. When we look at urban experiences, Johannesburg, Lagos, Accra, New York, London, there are so many parallels. And so it expands our understanding of Black experiences in urban spaces when we are able to kind of look at what's happening outside of the U.S. When we look at gender, when we look at the representation of Black women, if we're only looking at the U.S., we're missing some of the interesting things that are happening in Europe, some of the interesting things that are happening in Africa. The question of commercialization, Nigerian artists are dealing with that now and, dealing with the kind of tension between hip hop and Afrobeats. Whereas in the U.S., there is this kind of criticism or conversation around the commercialization of hip hop. So it has been amazing to see the growth of international scholarship scholarship on international hip hop. The European Hip Hop Studies Network, amazing, amazing scholars that are running that network and that are dealing with hip hop, not only in Africa and in Europe, but throughout Asia, Latin America. So the question of whether or not Africa has a place in hip hop, of course it does. Whether or not Africa has anything to contribute, of course it does. And it still surprises me when I have students that are surprised that there's actually hip hop culture on the continent of Africa. So speaking to this very topic of people being surprised, I'm just going to insert a clip from an episode that our students did for their final project. It's available on our podcast platforms. The episode is called Continental Cadences, The Global South Has Something to Say. And it speaks to the point of people being surprised about hip hop in Africa.
Like every time I tell somebody like, oh yeah, I have hip hop in Africa. They're like, Africa is hip hop? Like, yeah, actually. You actually look it up. Like it's not just Afro beats. It's not just, it's not, there's more to it, you know? And there's that's what's so important about like digging deep and really looking in it.
And so looking at what is happening on the continent And I think really kind of bringing that more into mainstream hip hop studies is super important. So hip hop studies, again, it's not just about music or studying music. It's about understanding Black life, Black culture, identity, politics and social change, gender and sexuality. It's pretty much everything. Hip hop has touched on everything, has impacted everything, and everything has impacted hip hop. So when you look at hip hop globally, Africa and the rest of the diaspora are not peripheral to the field. They are helping to redefine the field itself. And I'm coming from a Pan-African perspective because I definitely want to acknowledge hip hop culture in Asia, hip hop culture in Latin America, and people of who are not of African descent who are also contributing. But I definitely want to acknowledge the work that is being done by people from different backgrounds within hip hop studies. And so I want to close with the reminder that the Hip Hop Studies Conference is November 13th through the 15th at Howard University. The submission deadline was extended. I'm recording this on June 31st. The deadline was extended to July 31st. So if you haven't gotten your submission in, you need to do so. If you have not registered, you need to do so. We encourage people to register early for the Hip Hop Studies Conference. Right now, registration for non-students is $50. The registration will go up after September 1st. It is free for students. I want to encourage you to pay for the registration if you are not a student. I know sometimes people will register as students and, you know, just because it's free. We are not in any way sponsored by Howard University or any other organization or entity. This is a grassroots conference, meaning that the money that we raise goes right back into the conference. It goes into providing the conference bags, providing the badges. We're going to be printing the programs again. Budgetary reasons are why we didn't print them last year. Last year, we were able to provide breakfast and lunch for both days of the conference. So when you're registering, you are contributing to our ability to hold this conference. When you don't register and just show up and expect a badge and a bag and food, or when you register as a student to register for free, you are definitely impacting our ability to host these conferences. So just, again, I encourage you to register. It really, really does help. Help us do these conferences. I definitely hope to see you in November at Howard University. And I will be participating in the upcoming Hip Hop Ed Conference. So next week, I'll be speaking at one of the panels at the Hip Hop Ed Conference that's happening at Columbia University. It's June 5th and 6th, but I'll be speaking on the 6th. And then later in June, I'll be on two roundtables for the LEGO Studies Association Conference. One is a roundtable discussing the new book by Rochelle Peck, Nairobi Hip Hop Flow, Diasporic Blackness and Embodied Performance in the Underground, as well as a roundtable focusing on the book by Tosin Bogi, Nigerian Hip Hop, Race, Knowledge, and the Poetics of Resistance. Both amazing books. If you haven't read them or heard about them, get it. And so that's what I'll be doing this June. And hope to actually interview both authors and do an episode with them about their work. All right, I'm closing the episode with a clip from Abiba, a student who presented at the 2025 Hip Hop Studies Conference.
But if I had to kind of sum it all up, I want everyone to kind of think of that quote, that clip of Andre 3000 at, was it the Grammys? When he wins that award, when Outkast wins an award and Andre 3000 gets on the mic and says, the South has something to say, the global South has something to say. And they're saying it through hip hop. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Africa's telling us who Africa is through hip hop. And I think it'd be great.
And we just have to listen.
Yes, all we have to do is listen.
Thanks for listening to the Hip Hop African Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe. For more interviews, articles, and resources, visit hiphopafrican.com. We'll see you next time. Peace.